yeah. Go ahead and try to tear the roof off this place. Go ahead and shout to the Lord. Go ahead and go crazy for God. Woo! Slap three people, high five, tell them God's fighting for you today and you can be seated. Last time, yeah, our Braden is leaving Bethel, y'all. I know, it's so sad. We were kind of hoping he would take Canton with him, though, just saying. No, not really. We're not real sure that he heard from the Lord on this. To be honest, just step up here. Your mama's taking a picture, and you'll probably never, ever have a picture with a more handsome fella than you are right now, so just saying. So, no, Braden is taking a job in College Station. It's his dream. It's the thing you want to see happen. But, man, it is sure hard to let them go when they go. But anyway, we love him, and we're going to send him off with a blessing. We'll pray for him at the end of church here in a little bit. Y'all, give Braden some love. We may take up a love offering to try to buy him some man's pants. Just saying. He's so sweet. You love these kids, but they're so disrespectful. You know what I'm talking about? Like that last song that we sang, you know, when we sang it before one time, like they come back in with that chorus at the end really big. And so Connor didn't tell me that they were going to do that. And so when the song quit, I ran up on stage and everybody looked at me like, no, 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 no. And so I had to go back down. And so Braden, I don't know how he does it, man, but from the drum cage, while playing the drums, he texts me this morning and he says, we're going to go on this song one more verse. And then he says, love you, old man. Like, what the heck? Thankful for their help, but disrespectful little stink. No, I'm teasing. Hey, welcome to Bethel, man. We're excited you're here today. It's always fun to come hang out and to worship God and just to hear the word of God. How many of you were here last week? Let me hear you say a good amen. Amen. Put your hands together for Brian Stovall last week. Big old gristlehead got up here and preached and talked about his giving. We're in the middle of our series, kind of closing down this series about generosity and about giving and giving to the Lord. And so Brian and his wife they came to church here for years. And when we planted our church in Stamford, they felt like the Lord was asking them to sacrifice this place and go up there and give of their time. And so just thankful for people like that. So today we're going to talk about the most dreaded sermon that any congregation wants to hear. It's about giving and being generous with your money. Yeah, go ahead and laugh. It just is. I haven't done a financial series in over a year, and it's time that we do that. It's time that we study the Word of God. It's time that we know what the Word of God says about giving. We've talked about giving of our time, giving of our talent, and God also requires us to give of our resources, to give of our money. We just sang that song about there's a God that fights for me. How many of you know God has fought for you? Come on, somebody, say a good amen. He fought for you, and not only did he fight for you, he redeemed you, and he delivered you, and he gave you a new heart, and he picked you up out of the miry clay, and he set your feet on the rock to stay, and God heals, and God delivers, and God does everything. But once God comes into our life and everything changes, then he gives us some principles to live by that will bring victory in our life for the rest of our days. The problem is oftentimes we don't teach these principles very well. There's a principle of prayer. There's a principle of fasting. There's a principle of worship. And there is a principle of giving. Everybody say giving. Giving of our money. How many of you would agree? Money drives the world we live in. Come on, somebody. Let's don't play like it don't. Let's don't play like it doesn't matter. Here's the problem. The enemy fights against the preachers and the pastors talking about giving of your money. The enemy fights against the principle of tithing and offering. Do you know why the enemy fights against it so bad? Because the enemy himself knows the value of you and I learning to give our first fruits. The enemy knows the blessings that are attached to giving, and so he wants to fight against us. See, in the early days, I was scared to preach about money because I didn't want people to think I was about money, and I was worried about this and worried about that, and people used to say all the time, oh, a preacher must need a raise. He's preaching about money. Let me just set you straight right quick. I get paid salary. It don't matter what you give, okay? This has nothing to do with my money. This has to do with your money and the kingdom of God and you receiving the blessings of giving. You know what? Haters are going to hate. It just is the way it is. But here today, I want to help you in the area of your finances. Here's an issue. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money, you ever fall in love with money? You ever know somebody that loves money? All they can think about is money. I got to build my money. I got to save my money. I want to make more money. I'm going to neglect my family because I got to make more money. I'm going to neglect my church because I need more money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with so many sorrows. I said it before, and I'll say it again to you today. We have not done good in the church at talking and teaching about money and about giving. We have not done good at it. Because as a result of that, just think about it with me, most churches just skimp by on a skimpy little old budget. Most churches skimp by. They don't go buy the best sound systems. They don't go buy the best chairs. They don't go buy the best material for the parking lot. They just skimp by on little bitty and do what we can to try to get by and patch it up and do what we can. You know what? That is not God's will. God doesn't want his children getting by. God doesn't want his children eating the crumbs below the table. God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think. God wants his church and his people to have the finest things, as long as the finest things don't have his people. Come on, somebody. God wants us to, so we've not taught about it, and so we just skimp by little. Can I just say this? If everybody that was taught the word of God, and if everybody in here understood the principle of tithing and offering and giving, and if we had a heart to give back to God after all that he's done for us, I am convinced there would be enough money in the church for the church to do whatever the church needed to do. I am convinced if we all gave and did our part, that God would be glorified in a huge way through how we could advance the gospel here at Anson, Texas. Just giving the best part, because here's what we have to understand. Acts 20:35. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of Jesus. These are Jesus's words. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And I believe, can I just kind of preach to y'all just a little bit? I believe we've not done good at teaching that principle, not only in the church, but we've not done good at teaching that principle to our children in America the last couple of generations. Because everything in America seems to be now, what are you going to give to me? What does my government have for me? What does this church have for me? What does this job have for me? We're all worried about receiving all the time. And how many believe we're still blessed in America? Say yes. We have the finest of everything, and yet as I look at our people as a whole, we are the least satisfied and least fulfilled that we've ever been, because all we know how to do is receive, and it's more blessed to give. We need to learn to give. Everybody shout, give. Give. So here's the deal. We should want to be generous in every area of our life. So for this week and for next week, we are going to talk about financially giving. We're going to talk about it. I have a ladder. I'm going to show you something here this week, because here's what I want to do with this principle. Here's what I want to do with this sermon that I'm talking about to you today. I want for every one of us in here, we fall under one of these categories right here. And what we want to do is we want to climb the ladder. We want to advance. We want to grow in the kingdom of God. We want to grow in our faith. And so here is my goal over the next couple of weeks, to move you up one rung, to just grow you one step. See, some of you, let's just be real, you've never given to the church. You've never given to God. You've never given in the plate. You've just never done it. You weren't taught that way. You don't understand it. And so my goal is to open up your mind and to open up your understanding and go, you know what? Freely I have received from God. Now freely I want to give back. I just want you to give one time if you've never given. I want you to experience the joy of giving back to the kingdom of God. And then if some of you say, oh, well, I've given a time or two here or there. We want to move up to this next level, emotional giving. What does that mean? That means I'm still not giving regularly, but if Cody gets up there and says, hey, we have a family in our church, and this family has been diagnosed with a sickness, and their medical bills are running high. Man, they're just wore out. They can't work. We want to help them. And so that grabs you in your heart, and you kind of get emotional about that, and so you want to give. Or I say, we're going to send this missionary to Mexico City, and we go, oh, I'm connected there. Emotional giving. And then next one I want to move you up to is this, is tithing. 10%. We'll talk more about that next week. Tithe means 10%. It means if I make $1,000, I'm saying, you know what? I'm giving 10% back to God. No matter what, no questions asked. This is when it becomes regular for you. I'm not sporadic one time. I'm not sporadic when there's an emotional need. It's kind of when you begin to mature and you go, wow, man, after all God's done to me, I want to give my tithe every week. Every week you get on this recurring deal and you start giving all the time. And if you're a tither, I want to move you up to offering. Offering is above and beyond your 10%. You go, well, I've been giving 10% for 2 years every week and I've been faithful, but you know what? Man, God has blessed my business. Man, God has blessed my marriage. I want to give above and beyond that. And then lastly, we want to move you to spirit-led, where you are tithing regularly, you're giving offerings to something else, but you know what? The Spirit of God just moves on your heart and you go, wow. You know what? They've been having trouble with that that sound system over there. You know what? I think the Spirit of God's telling me to give $25,000 to get a new sound system going over there. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I can tell you some stories. I ain't got time to do it today, but I can tell you some stories how some people come up and they say, Spirit of God been moving on in our heart and we want to give this towards whatever. And I promise you, more times than not, whatever the price is to get, you know what, fixed is exactly the check that they gave. Spirit-led, we just want to move you up and help you to advance and to grow. So let me take a quick time out right here, and I want to say a thank you to y'all. I'm not always the best at thanking people. My wife will tell me that over and over again. But I want to tell you something today. I want to say to all of you that have ever given at all to Bethel Assembly, at any of our campuses, at any time, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you because your giving allows us to have some full-time and part-time employees that can keep this thing going and operating like it needs to operate. I want to say thank you because everything you've given has helped us to have a cool facility with cool carpet and cool chairs and a cool nursery and benevolence. When people call, they call this church on a weekly basis. And you know what? They need help and people are really struggling and really hurting. And I'm thankful that they know, well, Bethel is the place to call. I love this story. Sorry, Jennifer, I'm going to tell this story. There's a couple of other churches here in town that are a little chinchy and a little tight. You know what I mean? And so we have people call the church all the time and they say, hey, can you help us pay our water bill? They're about to cut. I say, do you go to church here? And they go, no. And I said, well, how do you know? And they said, well, we called that other church in town down there. And they said, they didn't have no money but to call y'all that you would help us out. And I'm like, yes, that's what we want to be known as. And so when you give, you help us sow back into this community. When you give here, we have a 35 missionaries, somewhere around 35, that we support on a monthly basis. Some are in America, some are overseas. But because you give, we're furthering the gospel. We get to have cool stuff on the internet and Facebook, and we can do funerals here, and we do weddings here, and we got this school coming up, and we have a playground out back, and everything we have is because you have a heart to give to the kingdom of God. So thank you. Put your hands together and thank yourself and thank everybody. We do what we do because you give. And here's the thing. When you give, others are blessed. But here's what we got to understand. When you give, you're blessed too. When I give, I am blessed too. We're blessed by our generosity. So back to that. Back to teaching about being generous and giving. Let me ask you a quick question. How cool would it be if we as parents taught our kids to tithe and give and be generous at a young age?
Most people that I deal with over the last 21 years, they get to be 20 or 30 and married, and you teach about tithing and giving, and they go, oh, wow, nobody ever taught us about that. How cool would it be if we taught our children about that at a young age and they grew up being givers? My kids are not perfect. My kids are absolute knuckleheads. I'll just tell you that. They act just like their mama. Come on, y'all. But I'm going to tell you, as a father, it does my heart good for them to say when Will worked at the shed, hey, your son Will bought my lunch today. He just gave it to me. And Jesse works at Chick-fil-A, and people say, you know what? Jesse bought my lunch today. And to see Clara give her toys to her friends and other people, I'm telling you, as a father, that gives me great joy. And I'm just going to tell you something. Our Heavenly Father, when He sees us focus on other people and He sees us give generously, it makes our Father in Heaven's heart fill with joy. When we learn to be givers. I've always taken pride in my role as pastor, preaching the good stuff and the fun stuff and the easy stuff, but preaching the hard stuff too. My job as a pastor is not just to coddle you, pat you on the butt, tell you good game, and to lead you beside still waters and take you to green grass fields this tall. When you stray out of the flock, my job is to whip your butt back in the herd. Come on, somebody. To push you. I want you to be better. I don't want to be status quo. I don't want you to be status quo. If you want a sugary, sweet, kind, little feel-good service every Sunday morning, maybe you better find another church. Because I'm going to push you. If you're living a life of sin, I'm going to push you. If you're living a life of adultery, I'm going to push you and hold you accountable. If you have addictions that are holding you down, if gossip, if you have a bad attitude, I am going to push you in every area to overcome and to be the best you can possibly be. And I'm going to do the same thing when it comes to your finances. The same thing. Here is the truth of giving. Y'all ready for the truth? Can I hear a good amen? 2 Corinthians 9:6, very easy principle. God says, I save you, deliver you. Watch this. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. That only makes sense. That is common sense. We live in West Texas. We understand farming, y'all. We understand if we have a section of land out here, if we have a section of land and we take a 5-gallon bucket of wheat seed and spread it out in the middle of that section, we put out small seed, we're only going to get a small crop in return. But if we go and scatter seed everywhere, all around the border, and we don't do it scarcely, we give extra, and we give abundant, and we plant a bunch of seeds, and then God comes and sends the rain, and the sun shines, in the end, we will have a wheat crop of abundance. The more that we give, the more we're going to reap. The more we sow, the more we are going to reap. Let me give you some more scripture. Proverbs 18:16. Giving a gift can open doors. It gives access to important people. Giving gifts can open doors. Giving gifts can open doors at the next level. I preached last weekend in Hereford, Texas at a roping. It was a big roping up there. And so a bunch of cowboys came to church that morning. Jake Hooker did the worship, and that was the main draw. That's why everybody came. They didn't come to hear me preach. But anyway, so I have a friend that I haven't seen in years. And I love this, and I'm just going to share it with you today because I think it's so cool. He came, he's a Christian guy. He goes to church, he's preached a little bit. He came to service that morning. He didn't even know I was preaching. I was the last minute fill-in. And immediately when church was over, he came to me and he stuck his hand out and he gave me a check. And I opened that check up and it's blank. There wasn't even a name on it because he didn't know who was speaking, but it was made out for $250. And so here's what I want you to see. That guy knew that if I give and I'm generous, it will open some doors in my life. He knew that if he sowed a bunch of good seed, that God would produce a good harvest. He came with a giving heart. I want to be that way. I want to lead a congregation that is that way, that understands giving, and you don't have to be coaxed. You don't have to be asked. We just want to give because we want to be a part of the kingdom of God. Let me give you some more. Proverbs 11:25, the generous will prosper. The generous will prosper. The generous, the giving, they will prosper. Those who refresh others will refresh themselves be refreshed. The generous prosper. Be generous.
Be generous. Be a giver. Can I give you a little bit of advice? Can I give you a little bit of relationship advice? Gifts can open doors and the generous will prosper. You know what? Look at every area of your life and see where can I give to somebody? Where can I give to somebody? If somebody invites you over to their house to eat supper, take them a gift. Take them a gift. I don't care if it's a $5 candle that you bought down there at the Dollar General. Take them a candle. I don't care if it's a bouquet of flowers for you to set on the table. Just be a giver. Everywhere you go, give to other people. Refresh other people. Refresh other people. And when we learn to refresh other people, God says you'll be refreshed in return. So let me break that down. Can I break it down for you a little bit? That's when it comes to giving to the church. Maybe you live in the country. Maybe you don't know very many people. Maybe you're not very good. But if you learn to give and tithe to your storehouse, then when somebody comes along here and needs help and we're able to present them a gift and it refreshes them, God will trace it all the way back to you and he'll refresh you as well. Because here's the principle. One more. Luke 6:38. Give. Everybody shout, give.
Give.
Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. How many of you know you can't outgive the Lord? No, let me say it again. You can't outgive the Lord. You give and the promise of God says your gift will return to you in full. Not only in full, it'll be pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Everybody shout, more. Running over and poured into your lap, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give. Be generous. So, like I told you earlier, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to discuss the different steps and the principles of giving. In case you don't know, we'll talk about all these different steps next week. But today, I just want to wind things down and close with this one story about giving. To me, it's maybe my favorite story in the scripture about giving. It's not about how much you give. It's not about how big your check is. It's not about all the zeros at the end of your check. It is about your heart. It's about your heart. It's about going, I will not forget you, Lord. I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever in the fury of your love. I will not forget, God, that you fought for me. I will not forget, God, that you redeemed me. And now, God, I want to give back to you. It's always remembering that. See, let me tell you something right quick. 2 Corinthians 9:7. If you have any reservations in here today about me, about giving, if you go, hey, I don't know if I like that or not. I don't know. I'm just not. If you have any reservations, don't give. Don't give. Because it's not doing you any justice and it's not doing anybody any justice because God loves a cheerful giver. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. That cracks me up because most people don't give no money cheerfully at all. Come on, somebody. Like the church I grew up in, when you like that was the most solemn part of the service, boy. Had that old organ. And they came to the front with the gold plates, you know what I mean? I never will forget one time. Can I tell y'all a story about me giving when I was a kid in church? I had the Cochran's. You got to watch them Cochran's, boy, because they put the funk in dysfunction, I'm just telling you. And we had the Cochran family Christmas one time at Clyde, America, and my mama wasn't paying no attention, and I had a little bit of money because I was working. I was about 10 or 12, and I slipped out there. They had a big poker game going, and I slipped out and got my $20 in the game. And, buddy, we was playing two-card gut, and I had an old aunt named Aunt Shanks. Boy, I mean, she didn't care how old I was. She was trying to win that pot. I win me $135 that night over playing poker. My mama found out that was Saturday night. Guess where all that money went come Sunday morning? To the offering plate, Wiley Baptist Church. We had them old metal plates too. I'm telling you, I'll never forget. It's quiet, solemn, organ playing, quiet. And they brought that, passed that little plate. You know how they used to do before the Wuhan and the COVID came along and everybody got germaphobe and scared to death. They passed that little copper plate down and I had that money in my hand and my mama was slapping the back of my hand and them coins was clanging off that game right there. I never forget that. I wasn't giving very cheerfully that day. But here's the deal. I want to move us all to where, you know what? I'm glad to give. I'm cheerful. I want to give. When I started, that's the experience I had in church growing up. And then I started going to church with Jennifer and her mother and dad. And it was one of them crazy Pentecostal churches. You know what I mean? She's playing the fiddle. Her dad was playing the slide trombone. Shirley was over there playing that piano boogie woogie like this. And they started to pass the plate. And I never will forget it. When they were passing the plate, you know what they start singing? This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. These people were cheerful to give their money that day. I thought, what the heck is wrong with these folk? Because I didn't understand. Cheerfully giving. It changes your life. It changes your perspective. It changes your relationships. It brings refreshing. It brings prosperity. It opens doors, and it blesses the kingdom of God. The greatest story in the Bible to me of giving is this one. It's found in Mark 12, 41 through 44. Story of this widow woman. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple. So just so you know, when Jesus was pastoring and Jesus was in the temple, they took up an offering then too. Jesus sat down near the collection box, and he watched the crowds as they dropped their money in. Many rich people put in large amounts. Pray with me. Father God, send many, many rich people to Bethel Assembly to put in large, large amounts of money into our offering plate. It's okay to pray that, y'all. So there was a lot of rich folk. Hey, can I just tell you something? Can I be real for a minute? Y'all look at me. Look. Some of y'all, the Lord has totally and completely blessed you in a financial way that you never, ever could believe. And but I'm telling you, you know what? If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it lists all the spiritual gifts, and it's preaching, and it's teaching, and it's worship, and it's word of wisdom. And I'm going to tell you what, there is a gift of giving. It is a spiritual gift, and God has blessed you, and God has given you abundantly, and he has done it so that your spiritual gift can be given, so that you can advance the kingdom of God. Oh, y'all got quiet, didn't you? Many rich people put in large amounts, which was good. But then a poor widow, you need to understand that they didn't live in America where a widow could get on welfare. They didn't live in America where the government could send a supplement check to the widow. No. This is a widow. Back then, it was the husband was the breadwinner. Woman was a Proverbs 31 woman. She was a homemaker. She was a mom. She was a wife. She stayed at home and raised kids. The dad worked. She has no breadwinner. She is poor. She doesn't have much at all. Poor widow woman who could have easily felt sorry for herself, who could have easily hung on to everything that she had. A poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Two small coins, less than a penny. Two small coins she put in the plate. And Jesus said, you know what? I think this is a pretty good teaching moment right here. He called his disciples. He said, y'all come here. Y'all come here and let me show you something. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow, you know the one whose clothes are bad? You know the poor widow? Probably hadn't had a bath in several days. The poor widow? You know the one everybody overlooked? The poor widow? She has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, as poor as she has given everything she had to live on. This widow woman had a heart for God and a heart for the church and a heart for the kingdom of God. See, some of us, we say, oh, well, I can't give as much as so-and-so. I just can't give. I can't afford to give. Listen to me. You can't afford not to give. You can't afford not to give. And it's not enough. It's just whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Just give. Just give. Conrad, come help me close this thing down, please. Here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do today. I want to just close out, and I just want to challenge you guys and girls. Think about what God's done for you. I want to challenge you. Think about the promises of the Word of God. Look at there. Thanks, Justin. God's never failed us. God's never let us down. God's asking us in the middle of a screwed up economy, and we got that. Can I hear an amen? Amen. In the middle of a screwed up economy, in the middle of gas being higher than it's been, in the middle of groceries, in the middle of the national deficit, we're going to go, you know what? My welfare doesn't count on the kingdoms of this world. My welfare counts on the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And I'm going to give. I'm not going to hoard. I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to give like I've never given before. I'm going to give every situation, every opportunity. I'm going to be a giver. Just think about that today, wherever you are on the rung. Are you ready to advance? Are you ready to move up? Are you ready to step up and make that commitment to be generous and to be a giver? Here's what we usually do. Anything I preach on, I give you an opportunity to respond to. It's our style here. If I preach about salvation, I give you an opportunity to respond to salvation, come to the front, pray with me. If I preach about healing and laying on of hands and anointing with oil, I give you an opportunity to respond, to come to the front, lay hands on you, pray for you. Whatever it is, we respond. And so normally when we preach about tithing, we give you a chance to respond, to go, okay, or give, however that might be. But here's what I want to do. I want to hit the pause button. I want to hit the pause button. And I go, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray this week. I want you to pray. I want you to pray, Lord. Lord, help me. Lord, I want to grow. I want to advance in this area. So if you've never given, pray something like this week. Lord, give me the courage to give first time next week. Give me the courage. Give me the courage to just give one time. Maybe you don't do it. Maybe you just do it sporadically. But you go, hey, you know what? Give me the courage this week, Lord. Next week, make a commitment. Whether I'm at that church house or whether I'm not at that church house, I'm going to start tithing on a regular basis just to show you, God, that I'm maturing and I'm growing. Maybe some of you've been tithing for a long time. Pray this week, Lord. I want to give above the requirement. I want to give above 10%. That's God's. I want to give an offering. God, show me how much. And then some of you, maybe the Holy Spirit would say $25,000 one time, Spirit led. Seriously, just pray and ask God, help me have courage to step up one rung. It'll bless you and it'll bless those around you. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and then we'll pray and we'll be done. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the first thing I want to say to you today is everything we do is about the gospel of Jesus Christ, about the good news of Jesus, about how Jesus left his home in glory and how he took upon flesh and he came upon this earth and he lived a sinless life. And he gave his life up to pay for mine and your sin. We've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin are death. We couldn't work our way back to God, but God made a way. Jesus paid a debt that he didn't know. He paid for our sins. It's all about the gospel. And I just want to say this to you today and give you an opportunity. If you're here and you know you're far from God, if you're here and you know you're drowning in a sea of sin and you're living a life of bondage like the Israelites did in Egypt, and you've tried to get your way out, you've tried to work your way out, you just can't. I'm going to tell you something today. Jesus is your deliverer. Jesus is your liberator. Jesus is your rescuer. He will rescue you out of a life of bondage, and he'll forgive you, and he'll break off the chains of sin, and he'll make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. He'll give you a new heart. He'll pick you up out of the miry clay, set your feet on the rock to stay, and he'll promise you eternal life in heaven. If you're here today and you've never invited Christ into your heart before, but you say today, I need rescuing, and I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. If that's you, would you just raise your hand right now? Because God's fighting for you. God's fighting for you. To the rest of you, let's stand up on our feet and let's close with a song of worship. Holy Spirit, continue to move in this place as we close in worship today.